Translation of the Vosana contains the Maharaj Parikshit. My dear King, Bharat Maharaj, the topmost devotee, following the orders of his father who had already decided to install him on the throne and began to rule the earth accordingly. When Bharat Maharaj ruled the entire globe, he followed the orders of his father and married Panchajani, the daughter of Vishwarupa. Just as the false ego creates the subtle sense object, Maharaj Bharat created five sons in the womb of Panchajani, his wife. These sons were named Sumati, Rashtabhrita, Sudarshana, Varaha, and Dhumraketu. Formerly, this planet was known as Ajanabhavarsha, but since Maharaj Bharata's reign has become known as Bharatvarsha. This planet was formerly known as Avanasha because of the reign of King Nabi. After Bharat Maharaj ruled, the planet became celebrated as Bharatvarsha. Four. Maharaj Bharat was a very learned and experienced king on this earth. He perfectly ruled the citizens, being himself engaged in his own respective duties. Maharaj Bharat was as affectionate to the citizens as his father and grandfather had been, keeping them engaged in their occupational duties throughout the earth. Purport is most important that the chief executive rules the citizens by keeping them fully engaged in their respective occupational duties. Some of the citizens were Brahmanas, some were Kshatriyas, some were Vaishyas and Sudras. It was a duty of the government to see that the citizens act according to these material divisions for their spiritual advancement. No one should remain unemployed or unoccupied in any way. One must work as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra on the material path and on the spiritual path. Everyone should act as a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi. Although formerly the government was a monarchy, all the kings were very affectionate towards the citizens and they kept them engaged in their respective duties. Therefore, society was very smoothly conducted. Next five, with great faith, King Bharat performed various kinds of sacrifices from the sacrifice known as Agnihotra, Dra, Darsha, Purnamasa, Chaturmasa, Pasu Yajna, and Soma Yajna. Sometimes these sacrifices are performed completely and sometimes partially. In any case, in all the sacrifices, the regulations of Chaturhota were strictly followed. In this way, Bharat Maharaj worshiped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Herbivore animals like hogs and cows were offered in sacrifice to test the proper execution of the sacrifice. Otherwise, there was no purpose in killing the animal. Actually, the animals offered the sacrifice of fire to get a rejuvenated life. Generally, an old animal was sacrificed in the fire and it would come out again in a youthful body. Some of the rituals, however, did not require animal sacrifice. In the present age, animal sacrifice is forbidden, as stated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Vasamedam Gavalam Bam Sanyasam Pala Paitakam Andevarena Sudopatim Kalao Pancha Vibhacha. Yet in this age of Kali, five acts are forbidden: offering of a horse in sacrifice, offering of a cow in sacrifice, accepting the order of sannyas, offering oblations of flesh to the forefathers and emancipating children and his brother's wife. Such sacrifices are impossible in this age due to the scarcity of expert Brahmana or original Shah, who was able to take responsibility. In the absence of these, the Sankirtan Yagi is recommended. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayaya Janti Hisumay Saha. After all sacrifices are executed to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yag Artha Karma, such activities should be carried out for the Supreme Lord's pleasure. In this age of Kali, the Supreme Lord's incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should be worshipped with his associates by performance of Sankirtan Yagya, the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. This process is accepted by intelligent men. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayaya Jandihi Sumedha Saha. The word Sumedha Saha refers to intelligent men who possess very good brain substance. After performing the preliminary various sacrifices, Maharaj Bharat offered the results in the name of religion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. In other words, he performed all the yagas for the satisfaction of Lord Vasudeva, Krishna. Maharaj Bharat thought that since the demigods were different parts of Vasudeva's body, he who controls those who are explained in the Vedic mantras. By thinking in this way, Maharaj Bharat was freed from all material contamination, such as attachment, lust, and greed. When the priests were about to offer the sacrificial obedience into the fire, Maharaj Bharat expertly understood how the offering had made to different demigods was simply offering to the different limbs of the Lord. For instance, Indra is the arm of the Supreme Personality of God, and Surya is his eye. Thus, Maharaja Bharat considered that the oblations offered to different demigods were actually offered under the different limbs of Lord Vasudeva. Report, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says that as long as one does not develop pure devotional service of Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, one must carry out his prescribed duties. Since Bharat Maharaj is a great devotee, one may ask why he performs so many sacrifices that are actually meant for karmas. The fact is, he was simply following the orders of Vasudeva. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Paritya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender at the knee. Whatever we do, we should constantly remember Vasudeva. People are generally addicted to offering obeisances of various demigods, but Bharat Maharaj simply wanted to please Lord Vasudeva. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktaram Yagatapasam Sarvalokam Hashwaram. Yagya may be carried up to satisfy a particular demigod, but when the yagya is offered to the yagya Purush Narayan, the demigods are satisfied. The purpose of performing different yagyas is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. One may perform them in the name of a different demigod or directly. If we directly offer oblations to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demigods are automatically satisfied. If we water the root of the tree, the branches, twigs, fruits and flowers are automatically satisfying. When we offer sacrifices to different demigods, one should remember that demigods are simply part of the body of the Supreme. If we worship the hand of a person, we intend to satisfy the person himself. If we massage a person's legs, we do not really serve the legs, but the person who possesses the legs. All the demigods are different parts of the Lord, and if we offer service to them, we actually serve the Lord himself. Demigod worship is mentioned in Brahma Samhita, but actually the slokas advocate worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda. For instance, worship of the goddess Durga is mentioned this way in Brahma Samhita. Shasti Siti Pralaya Sadhana Shaktira Eka Chayavya Shabhubanani Givarti Durga Yashana Rupam Apriya Sucha Chesade Sa Govinda Mani Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Following the orders of Sri Krishna, the goddess Durga creates, maintains, and annihilates. Sri Krishna also confirms a statement in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sacharachara. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. we should worship the demigods, and that's there because the goddess Durga satisfies Krishna. We should therefore offer respects to goddess Durga. Because Lord Shiva is nothing but Krishna's functional body, we should therefore offer respects to Lord Shiva. Similarly, we should offer respects to Brahma, Agni, and Surya. There are many offerings to different demigods, and one should always remember that these offerings are usually meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Maharaj should not aspire to receive any benediction from the demigods. His aim was to please the Supreme Lord. In the Mahabharata, among the thousand names of Vishnu, it is said Yajna, Bhuk, Yajna, Krit, Yajna. The enjoyer of Yajna, the performer of Yajna, and Yajna itself are the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the performer of everything, but out of ignorance, the living entity thinks that he is the actor. As long as we think we are actors, we bring about karma bandha. If we act for Yajna for Krishna, there is no karma bandha. Yajna got karma nonya kalokvayam karma bandha raha. Work done as a sacrifice for Krishna has to be performed. Otherwise, we're divine sons of the material world. Following the instruction of Bhakti Maharaj, we should act not for our personal satisfaction, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, it is also stated, sacrifices, austerities, charities performed without faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead are non-permanent. Regardless of whatever rituals are performed, they are called asat, non-permanent. They are therefore useless, both in this life and the next. Kings like Maharaj, Ambarish, and many other Rajarsis who were pure devotees of the Lord simply passed their time in the service of the Supreme Lord. When a pure devotee executes some service through the agency of another person, he should not be criticized, for his activities are meant for satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. A devotee may have a priest perform some karmakanda, and the priest may not be a pure Vaishnava, but because the devotee wants to please the Supreme Lord, he should not be criticized. The word apurva is very significant. The resultant actions of karma are called apurva. When we act piously or impiously, immediate results do not ensue. We therefore wait for the results which are called apurva. The results are manifest in the future. Even the smart does accept this apurva. Pure devotees simply act for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the results of their activities are spiritual and permanent. They are unlike those of karmas, which are non-permanent. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely in transcendence. A devotee is always free from material contamination. He is fully situated in knowledge, and therefore his sacrifices are intended for satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these verses describe the activities of Bharat. And as we see, he acted as an ideal king, and he made sure that everyone was following their particular varna and working. And then it describes how he did sacrifices and things like that, including animal sacrifices. One may wonder why he is doing this. So animal sacrifices, if we look, are part of the Veda culture. They did horse sacrifices and cow sacrifices, etc. And there are many examples of that even in Bhagavatam and Mahabharata. Of course, as is quoted here and pointed out by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Kali Yuga these sacrifices are not allowed. The cow sacrifice and the horse sacrifice. And on the other hand, the yajna that is recommended in this age is Nam Sankirtan. So though these type of sacrifices are mentioned in the Vedas and were performed by the different kings, even Yudhisthira and others performed these sacrifices, still in Kali Yuga no one is qualified to do these sacrifices, and therefore they are forbidden. So why do them in the first place? They're not part of devotional service. They are part of karma. The kings especially engage in these sacrifices. They've hired or engaged the brahminical priests to do these sacrifices for the prosperity of the kingdom, etc. And they were not, they're not part of devotional service. If you look in bhakti, the activities are described in Nectar Devotion, there are 64 angas. That's not include animal sacrifices at all. In fact, we don't have sacrifices mentioned at all. We have worship of the Lord, the deity form. So all these other sacrifices are not directly part of bhakti. So as I mentioned previously, all these kings, even though they were devotees, were also partaking of this karma yoga system. And as stated here, Bharat made sure people were following the varnas properly, etc. So therefore, he also engaged in these type of sacrifices. We see that even Ambarish did this. But as mentioned particularly, Ambarish was not really interested. He, other people knew them, but he was, had no interest in these things at all. And he personally engaged in worshipping the deity. So the same can be said of Bharat Maharaj. We know he was an exalted devotee, but he followed these principles and did his sacrifices because it was his duty to do so. And of course he had qualified people to do it. But it also mentions here the particular consciousness with which he did it. That is, that in these sacrifices there is worship of devatas, or generally as Krishna mentions in chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita, worship of devatas and all this is temporary and it's avidhi purvakam. So why would the Vaishnava do this? The answer is, as explained here, that when he did these sacrifices, he understood that those devatas in the sacrifice were simply representatives of the Supreme Lord, like his limbs. They're acting as servants of the Lord. So Surya is the eye, and Indra is the arm, etc. Of course, this is mentioned earlier in the Bhagavata, in Canto 2 and Canto 3. The various devatas being part of the universal form. So, the devatas function on behalf of the Lord. So the Vaishnava, if he is doing these sacrifices, he doesn't take the devatas as the highest living entity to be worshipped, but rather as the servant of the Lord, that's all. And this is also mentioned in the commentaries in chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita. The correct way, if one wants to worship the devatas, so it is not avidhi purvakam, so it's not improper, is to worship them, understanding them as servants of the Supreme Lord. That's all. And then one can go on with these activities. This, of course, is a little bit indirect. Again, why not simply worship the Lord directly? Yes. So this is what the Vaishnava prefers. But because these other ceremonies are there in karma yoga, karma kanda, varnashram system, therefore the kings followed the system, but as Vaishnavas they understood the nature of the devatas, and therefore they did not commit offense against the Lord in any of this. On the other hand, they also understood that direct service to the Lord is more pleasing. So it is those direct services which are mentioned in the nectar devotion, not these indirect things. This is permissible, yes, and not offensive if we understand that worshipping devatas, they are servants of the Lord. But direct service is worship of the Lord directly. So therefore we have the process of archana, etc. Of course, the Lord himself can be worshipped in fire as well. As we see, the Yuga Dharma of Treta Yuga was to worship through Homa, and Yuga Dharma in Dwarpa Yuga is to worship the deity form, and in Kali Yuga the form of worship is through the name of the Lord, chanting the name of the Lord. Though it is possible to directly worship the Lord in some of the sacrifices through fire, nevertheless, the preferred method in Kali Yuga is chanting the name of the Lord. And second to that, then we have worship of the deity form of the Lord. These processes allow us direct worship of the Lord, not indirect worship. Chant the name of the Lord, worship the deity of the Lord. These are direct forms. These are more pleasing to the Lord. When we perform bhakti, the object is to please the Lord. So the Lord says, I am attracted to bhakti. so when we indirectly worship through worshiping devas, etc., we see that's not technically part of bhakti. It's not mentioned there in the Angas of bhakti at all. It's a way of fulfilling obligations without offending the Lord, more or less. But the direct worship is preferable. So this is pleasing to the Lord, the direct worship. So the great kings, along with their indirect worship, as Bhara Maharaj did, they also worshiped the Lord directly. In fact, we see later on Bharat was so accomplished that he could meditate on the Lord and see the Lord. That was his accomplishment. So he was very advanced. So he was not unsuccessful as in performing his direct bhakti also. But as far as his duties as a king, he performed these sacrifices. And at the same time, he understood the devatas were not the same as the Supreme Lord. They were actually servants. So therefore, he meditated on them as the limbs of the Lord. So that is the proper way one must worship devatas for some reason or other. Then this is how we do it. We understand them as simply servants of the Supreme Lord, not as independent entities. It is also said we should not take the prasada that was offered directly to the devatas. The devatas should be offered prasadam of the Lord. That's how they should be worshipped. And this way we commit no offense against the Lord. What's that? Yeah, that's part of bhakti.
When the Lord becomes completely satisfied.
In prema. If you have prema, that's when he's completely satisfied.
So, is there any mention in the Veda that there is a ego dharma?
What's that?
About ego dharma, is there mention in the Veda?
Vedas, probably not in the Vedas, in the Puranas.
But before 5,000 years back, that Vyasadeva explained this Veda as a Srimad Bhagavat. Okay. But how, then, 5,000 years back, how people used to do this ego dharma? Because he didn't explain this yuga at that time.
Well, there's a yuga avatar that comes in each yuga. Yeah, every yuga avatar comes and proclaims a dharma, a particular dharma, and teaches that. Every single yuga and every manvantara, 71 times in one manvantara, we get four avatars coming.
Understanding of the yuga of Kali Yuga, it may appear in different.
No, the Sankirtan is there, but it's not actually worship of Krishna's name. So there's 1,000 Kali Yugas and the day of Brahma, but it's not, they don't worship Krishna. They are then chant his name, they are chant other names. Because only Krishna appears once in the day of Brahma.
The same non-Sankirtan
chanting
Krishna's name would have appeared many times.
Well, in each day of Brahma. And the 70 first yuga cycle of, or what is it, the 28th yuga cycle of Vaivasvata Manvantara in every day of Brahma.
So here that Bharat Maharaj was following this Karmakanda process of Veda, I think.
Yeah.
He did all these sacrifices.
Yeah.
Chaturmasa, Purnamasa, sacrifices, all these things.
So is that through this Karmakanda process he is coming to that through this Karmakanda, he is coming that Prabhitya and Nirvithimana.
Well, he is simply following the process setting an example for society. That's all. He's out beyond that, obviously, because we see that when he retired, that he had bhava already. So he's also doing bhakti. He has great bhakti, but he's just doing this to set an example for the common people.
But he could have directly performed this devotional service.
He did both.
So just with Ganan people, there is confusion that, he did this one, so we should also do the same thing.
Well, this is for the people that don't have faith in the Lord. He just goes to karma yoga and engages in their activity, and they get their food, and they're very happy in society, like most of the people in the world. Talking about religion, they don't want it, they just want to survive and support their families. So that's what he does for common people. Just like now, you have to do that to get votes, yeah? We supply you with nice food and everything, everyone will vote for you. Nice, comfortable family life. So for common people, yes. They understood that they have to live nicely, so he does that. And so he did all these activities according to Varnashram rules. And everyone's satisfied. And those who are spiritual, yes, then they take the spiritual life.
And one more thing is, we know that everything is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is not the Srimad Bhagavatam. We can only live with that Garisandharam Purusha.
Well, yeah, not, it's everything in the Bhagavatam, we say the principles are there in the Bhagavatam. Obviously, everything's not there in the Bhagavatam. We don't have the complete pastimes from Lord Chaitanya mentioned in the Bhagavatam, you know, things like that. Obviously, it's not everything that's there in that sense. But the main teachings are there.
Main teachings?
Yeah, the teachings are there.
But there can be many interpretations based on this.
Yeah.
Some may think that his name is Guru Bhava.
What's that?
Yeah.
Based on this, indirect, some other group may think that chanting of particular different names of it would be more important than
this. Is.
Yeah. Well, of course, we don't have any quarrel to chant the name of the Lord. Fine. They don't even do that. So I mean,
sometimes people that those who are smart, those Shankar followers, they are saying that. See, we know that yes, Srimad Bhagavatam is the explanation of Vedas. But if you follow the Vedas, then ultimately comes all the Upanishad. All the Upanishad explain that worshiping different demigods and worshiping and then meditating. So many things are there. So we are following the Upanishad. What is wrong? Just like that.
Yeah, but then who can appreciate the Upanishads and the real meaning of the Upanishads in Kali Yuga? So Veda Vyasa therefore wrote the Puranas and the Mahabharata. So why don't we follow Veda Vyasa's direction and study those things and get the conclusion there?
Because we are seeing that Hare Krishna Mahamantra there in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. They are saying, okay. But meditation also explained the Upanishad, Sundari Upanishad.
Yeah.
So same thing we are doing.
But as I said, why don't they follow the conclusion of the Veda Vyas? And his direction is take the Bhagavatam as the direction of Kali Yuga, ultimately. Because this was written after all the other Puranas. So therefore, this should be taken as the conclusion.
Is there a sloka about this, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the conclusion of everything?
Yeah. No, well that's obviously in the story in the first canto. Where Narada Muni comes, after he's completed everything, he divided the Vedas and did everything, and Vedavyasa, he was unsatisfied. And therefore he says, therefore you write one work in which that Krishna is glorified. That is the conclusion of everything. That's all.
Demigods are servants of the Lord. And there's somebody always
Yeah, he will. But the problem is the consciousness of the person involved. That's the thing. If we think of the Devata as independent of the Lord, that's our problem. That's our offense.
But see,
what
means a person, Pujari is more powerful than the demigod?
What's that?
What was Pujari offer? The demigod themselves are offered to the Lord.
That doesn't matter, but the idea is the consciousness of the person doing it. If you think that this person is independent of the Lord, he's all powerful, that's the problem. And then what result you get. You're not getting a result that goes to the Lord because of that.
So who is offering to the demigods? That is depend on his consciousness.
Yeah.
But
that's why you can offer the demigods with the right consciousness. There's no offense to the Lord. Fine. If you're the wrong way, then that's the problem.
That can happen to even my glory sometimes. I heard that. And then when you talk about the Lord, from the Lord.
Yeah.
Mentally.
Devata have direct access to Lord Vishnu, to Lord Brahma, so they are aware of his presence and everything. Then why doesn't it invoke a bhakti in their heart for devotional service to the Lord? Or pure unalloyed devotional service in their heart is not awakened immediately. Why does it take so much time for them also?
Who?
The Devatas, the demigods.
Mm-hmm.
They are aware of Lord Vishnu's presence.
They are also devotees.
Yeah, but they are not compared like. They are not pure devotees and takes long for them to even evoke bhakti in their heart?
No, well, they have bhakti also. They're considered devotees. But their bhakti is also dasya for Vishnu generally. So, adikrita dasyas are called nectar devotion.
Sometimes it appears that they are acting for to save their positions also.
Yeah, that's so. So obviously, they're not on the highest level of purity. They can make mistakes because they're in the material world. Even Brahma has still got a material body, so it's possible. Bharat makes a mistake also. So it's possible for anyone to make a mistake. Yeah. Well, in the sense that Prakriti is the source of everything. She's in charge of Prakriti, so Brahma takes Prakriti and does something with it. So ultimately, she's the creator because she's in charge of Prakriti. That's why.
Oh,
so Prakriti
is in charge. Whatever Brahma is taking, he's taking the Prakriti.
Yeah, Prakriti is under Durga Devi.
Yeah.
So he's a secondary creator.
That demigods, those who are also demigods, if somebody knows that yes, demigods are the powers and personal discipline, they are the power, okay. If they worship, like, if that worshiper offer food to the demigods, then we can offer, take that one, that thing?
No, what they do, if they understand that a service to them, is they'll offer to Vishnu first and then offer to demigods. That's what called the offering. That's the proper way of doing it. Yeah, Puri.
But they are also worshipping same way because you know, whenever they are pronouncing some mantra, they are pronouncing that Om is there. Okay, Om is the, that hidden Narayan. They are chanting that name.
Where?
That Om is there. Offering mantra.
Yeah, as long as you understand what it means.
Yeah.
But some people don't.
Yeah, hidden, then Narayan is there, then Om.
Yeah.
Okay, but they are offering.
But if they're not thinking like that, then it's a problem.
But this means that
they're unknowingly they are offering.
Well, it's the consciousness. It's something like we can say Nama Bas Ajami. Okay, he says the name of Narayan. You get some result for that, but that's not called bhakti either. You get some good effect from it, but you know it's not bhakti.
This means in most of the demigods, because demigods are not taking shelter. Most of the Puja is taking demigods or something.
Yeah.
Maharaj, on Diwali day, every all the houses are offering food to the Lord Krishna. Is this considered as Krishna
devotee? Yeah, they offer to Krishna, fine.
Maharaj mentioned that other than devotional service, whatever you do, all are related to Prabhu Vandana. What is of Vakrama?
Everybody in the material world is generally a nitya bada, and some of those perform bhakti and they get out, that's all. But until they get out, they're still a nitya bada. And they get out, fine, then they're mukta, bada mukta.
As long as they're in material,
yeah. Of course, you can be a jivan mukta also. You can get perfection, and if you're in prema, then you're technically out, even in the material world. They would eat it. Bite it up and give it to the priests. Apparently.
Yeah,
you can see in the Vedas have procedures who gets what part of the animal, this and whatever.
But
well, if it's the sacrifice, it's not. It's like certain things are not sinful. Those are permitted. It's sanctified by the mantras, etc.
You mean to say that this
type
of knowledge started from time immemorial?
What's that?
This type of knowledge came from time immemorial?
Yeah. The Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas and Sudras and the Varnashram system eat meat. It's only the Brahmins that are not allowed to eat. Some of the Brahmins eat meat at the sacrifice. So that is why we don't consider Varnashram a very good system, because it's got too much permissive things in it. Everyone can drink also. Yeah. They all drink. Intoxication is there for the Vaishyas and the Kshatriyas, whatever Sudras, they're allowed to drink also.
But they can be changed, like nowadays we make the Sudra and the meat eaters, they give a meeting meat.
Yeah, that's but I mean in a traditional system, they their rules were quite liberal in some sense. Yeah. Yeah, or they bring them back for sacrifice also.
The point is that Panchapandavas and others said that
they are pure devotees. How does it take it? Then they don't take it. They hunt, but they give it to, they offer it for sacrifice, that's all. They give it to the for sacrifice.
That animal, how does it? That animal. Because whenever they will appear something like that animal will die there.
Yeah,
how they will offer it to?
They bring it for sacrifice, to let the Brahmins use it for sacrifice.
It's possible that animals?
Yeah, it was mentioned in the Mahabharata, different animals are suitable for sacrifice, and it's porcupines, and deer, and whatever. And these ones are not good, and you don't sacrifice these animals that they kill.
I heard that when they give the sacrifice, they give the higher cost of the animal.
Yeah.
That is called real sacrifice. It is not that killing them and eating their flesh.
No.
Killing them, they are higher cost of the
animal.
No.
Thank you.